Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue to investigate lies in our textbooks. Recently, we have been studying the pillars of Islam. And as we mentioned before, I wonder why Muslims are teaching the pillars of Islam in our social study books or our geography books or in our history books. What do the pillars of Islam have to do with these subjects? But it is the smartest way. It is the deceptive way of Muslim in the West. They know how to get to our education. They need to talk about Islam. They must reach out to the newer generation of the West. And because of political correctness, no one will stand against the school or against our educational system to say, don't teach about the things of Islam to our students. This is very dangerous, especially when we know that this material is taught to our children from kindergarten to the 12th grade. To allow this brainwashing of our children in our public schools is a crime, because we are infiltrating the new generation of our children in America with this lie and this propaganda. We covered already three of these pillars of Islam. First, we talked about the pillar of Shahada, that is to testify to the fact there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. And by the way, they have to say this in Arabic. And we found out this is a false testimony, for no Muslim on planet Earth have seen, heard, or touched Muhammad that they be able to testify rightly that Muhammad is a messenger from Allah. Then we talked about the second pillar in Islam, which is the five daily prayers, which must be performed in the Arabic language, facing Mecca at specific times. And Muslims, sadly, repeat some words in Arabic, and most of them do not know what it means in their own language, as we know that 87% of Muslims in the world today do not speak the Arabic language. And then we talked about the third pillar, the pillar of Zakat. In the textbook, they describe it as giving money to the poor and the needy. And that is obviously a lie, because actually, Zakat in the Quran is 20% of the spoil. And I emphasize on the word the spoil. And you and I know where the spoil comes from. It is the goods which Muslims receive after killing some innocent Jews, Christians, and others. And Muhammad used to receive 20% of this spoil. And the most important question which we ask in the past is, why do Muslims perform these pillars? It is good deeds. Muslims perform it with the hope of receiving forgiveness of their sins, as the Quran teaches that good deeds cancel out evil deeds. Today we'll talk about another pillar, for we know from the following textbook which teaches our children the pillar of fasting. Here is what our children are learning.
From the Florida Teacher's Guide, Corrections to Islam Biased Content in Florida's K-12 Textbooks, Teacher's Guide, Addendum, published by Glencoe World Geography, McGraw-Hill Glencoe, copyright 2000-2003, pages 448 through 449. Muslims follow their faith's principles set down in the Quran, Islam's holy book. They also fulfill five duties, known as the five pillars of Islam, professing faith in God and the Prophet Muhammad, praying five times a day, helping the poor and needy, fasting during the ninth month of the Islamic calendar.
Yes, indeed, this is the fourth pillar in the cult of Islam. It is the pillar of fasting. which always take place in the ninth month in the month of Ramadan in the Muslim calendar. And by the way, the Muslim calendar does not start at the birth of Muhammad, as in the case of the Christian calendar, which began around the time of the birth of Christ. And the Muslim calendar did not even begin from the time when Muhammad claimed to be a prophet. For Muhammad claimed to be a prophet in Mecca for 13 years. That is between the age of 40 to the age of 53. The Islamic calendar began at the time of immigration. That's when Muhammad immigrated from Mecca to Medina, a city which used to be known as the city of Yathrib, a Jewish city, which Muhammad took over, and he changed the name to Medina, which means the city of Muhammad. This is a man who traveled to the city literally empty-handed, without any possession. But then later, within few years, he literally owned the city, and his immigration from Mecca to Medina is known as the Hijrah, and the Muslim calendar began from this day of immigration. After Muhammad became a powerful ruler using the sword to accomplish all what Islam is about. Fasting is mentioned in many places throughout the Quran. For example, in Quran chapter 2 and verse 183, we read, "All you who have believed," siyam, which is the word fasting, it is actually a non-Arabic word of Assyric origin. Allah said, "Fasting is decreed to you as it was decreed to those before you. Perhaps you may fear numbered days. So whoever among you who was sick or traveling, so same number of other days. And as for those who are not able to keep it, the atonement of this will be the feeding of a poor one. And he who volunteers, good, so it is good for him. And if you fast, it is good for you, if you were knowing." The shahr, the word shahr in this verse, is another non-Arabic word of Aramaic origin, which literally means months. The shahr, or the months of Ramadan, in which the Quran was sent down a guidance to the people, and proofs of the guidance and of the distinguisher, so whoever among you witnesses the months, so let him fast it, and whoever was sick or traveling, so a like number of days. Allah desires the ease for you and does not desire the difficulty for you, and that you complete the number and that you may kabbar Allah. The word kabbar here, it means to say Allahu Akbar, a shout we are familiar with, and Muslims use it especially in war when they kill some of the infidels, for his guidance, and perhaps you may be thankful. In these three verses, we learn a lot about fasting from the words of Allah in the Quran. First of all, we know that it is decreed for Muslims to fast like others before them, which means Muhammad did not come up with anything new. For Christians and Jews before him, they used to fast. Then Allah said, if you skip some days during the fasting of this month of Ramadan, you have to replace them with another days. And if you cannot fast for whatever reason, you have to feed some poor. Which means really, if you cannot fast, feeding some poor people is equal to fasting. Allah said in verse 185, it is a month of Ramadan, 28, 29 days. Then Allah described this month to be the month where the Quran was descended on Muhammad. And in the Quran, there is guidance. Then Allah said, when one of you sees this month, so let him fast it. What does Allah mean by that? It's very simple. When somebody sees the beginning of the moon, that is the beginning of the month. Muslims count their months of their calendar when the new moon starts and ends. The beginning of the fasting of the month of Ramadan starts and ends with the eyewitness of the beginning of the new moon. Then Allah said, if someone is sick or traveling, he has to replace these days with other days. The important thing is that you have to complete the 28 days or the 29 days of Ramadan. And then Allah said, don't forget now, you need to shout Allahu Akbar, because Allah is able to guide you and perhaps you may give thanks. That is what we learn from these three verses, Quran chapter 2, verses 183, 184, and 185.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugarcoated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Let's look at another verse in the Quran. Talk about the fasting of Ramadan. To answer the question, how many hours during the day Muslim should fast? The answer is very simple. We read in the same chapter 2 and verse 187. For Allah said in the second portion of this verse, and eat and drink until you can discern a white thread from a black thread at the daybreak. Then fulfill the fast till night. The answer is very simple. You hold a white thread and a black thread and you look at both of them at night. If you cannot see the differences between the white and the black thread, that means it's real dark out there, that is when you start eating. And you eat all night long until morning comes. And in the morning, the moment you see the differences between the white and black thread, that is when you start fasting. It is amazing. Normally, when people fast, you expect that they will lose weight. But that is not what happened in the Muslim world. For it has been proven in the Middle East that during the months of Ramadan, Muslims add weight, for they consume more food in the months of Ramadan than any months of the year. Well, in the Middle East, if you live in Saudi Arabia or if you live in Egypt, that's roughly around 12-13 hours of fasting, 12-13 hours of eating. Depend on what time of the year the month of Ramadan comes in. For every year, the months of Ramadan come roughly 11 or 12 days earlier. For the lunar calendar has 354 days, but the solar calendar has 365 days. So in the Middle East, you cannot see too much differences between summer and winter, spring and fall. You fast between 12 to 13 hours and you eat between 12 to 13 hours. But let me ask you a question. What happened if you live in Alaska or in Greenland? And it just happened that the months of Ramadan fall into the middle of June. Do you know how many hours you will be fasting? According to Allah's wisdom of holding a white and black thread in the air to look at them? Of course, the sun shines day and night for many days. Then you cannot really separate between day and night for days in the month of June. That means you're going to be fasting a whole 2-3 weeks. And then when it gets dark, it's only for a few minutes. And then the night gets longer and longer and the day gets shorter and shorter. What happened if you live in Greenland or Alaska and it just happened that the month of Ramadan fall in the middle of December, close to Christmas? Do you know, if you hold a white and black thread in the air, you will never be able to separate between either one because it is dark for long hours. You have a whole week nighttime. That means you can eat all week long and Allah will not judge the Muslims for doing anything wrong. You see, I believe Allah, the God of Muhammad, does not know really too much about planet Earth. He does not know that if you put the rules on the Quran for the number of hours of fasting, and obviously Muhammad himself did not know by putting these restrictions in the Quran about the hour of fasting, it does not work in many places around the world in different times. One of the strange verses in the Quran is the following verse, which we read in chapter 2 and verse 196. It's actually a verse which ties the Hajj, which is the pillar we will be covering in the next broadcast, and fasting. For we read in Allah's word, Quran chapter 2 verse 196, and complete the pilgrimage and the visit to Allah. So if you are prevented, so do whatever offering will be the easiest, and do not shave your heads until the offering reaches the place of sacrifice. So whoever among you was sick or has an injury of his head, so its atonement is fasting or giving a sadaqah, that is giving an alms or an offering. What is Muhammad is talking about here? If you were stopped from going to the Hajj for whatever reasons, because some enemy stopped you from going to perform the Hajj, then Muslim must send an offering, and they cannot shave their heads until the offering is sacrificed. But if you have lice in your hair, or you have sickness in your head, and you have to shave your head earlier, then you must fast 3 days. That is another reason why Muslim must fast. But listen to the rest of the verse. For Allah said, so when you are secure, so whoever profits himself with the visit to the pilgrimage, so give whatever offering will be the easiest. So whoever does not find something to offer, so fasting 3 days in the pilgrimage and 7 days when you return. These are 10 complete. If the enemy which hinders the Muslim from going to visit Mecca and do the pilgrimage of Hajj is gone, now they're safe, now they can go and visit, they need to take with them an offer, a sacrifice of a sheep or a goat. But if the people were poor and cannot afford to give this offer, then he fasts 3 days in the Hajj and 7 days after they go back to their homes, a total of 10 days. That is another reason why Muslims fast, if they could not offer a sacrifice during the Hajj. Another reason for why Muslims must fast 60 days, we read about in Quran chapter 4 and verse 92. Where there we know if a Muslim kill another Muslim by accident, he must free a Muslim slave from slavery and also fast 2 consecutive months. And fasting is used here in this case as a penance. Another reason why Muslim must fast, we read about in Quran chapter 5 and verse 89. That is, if a Muslim gave an oath, but he did not keep his oath, then the punishment of Allah is he must feed 10 poor persons, or he must clothe 10 poor persons, or he must set a slave free. If he could not afford to do any of the above, he must fast 3 days. In Quran chapter 5 and verse 95, we also found another reason why Muslims fast. For Allah in the Quran commands the believer not to kill game while they are on pilgrimage. And anyone who will kill a wild animal, he must give an equal animal to that which he killed from the livestock. But if he cannot afford to do that, then he must feed the poor, or he himself must fast. And here in this verse, we did not see an exact time for how many days he should fast. In Quran chapter 33 and verse 35, we learn about receiving forgiveness by fasting. For Allah said, there is a great wage and forgiveness prepared for them. Who? The men and women who are believing, obeying, truthful, patient, humble, almsgiving, fasting, maintain their chastity, and remember Allah much. So, from this verse we learn that fasting brings forgiveness of sin. And what is said is, if you ask Muslim why you are fasting, many of them have no clue. They're fasting because it is Ramadan and it's time for fasting. What about us Christian? Are we fasting as the Bible teaches us to fast? There are many reasons biblically we can find throughout the Bible which tell us about fasting. Perhaps like getting rid of the devil who is trying hard to destroy our marriages, to destroy our businesses, to destroy our country, to destroy our education by allowing Muslims to teach this propaganda lies about Islam to our own children. Perhaps it's time for us to be broken before God, to fast for America, not just to pray, but to fast for this beautiful country. And until we meet again for the next broadcast, I pray, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.